what faith is, how it works, so that we can put our faith to work every day in our lives. And we've seen several things in this series. Number one, we saw that faith is foundational, fundamental. It's the ABCs. It's the basics. There's nothing advanced about faith. That's the way every Christian is supposed to live. We also saw that faith is a way of life or a lifestyle. We saw several passages that all say the same thing verbatim, word for word. The just shall live by faith. That simply means that's the way the just or the justified or those who have been declared righteous, that's you and that's me, that's the way we're supposed to live. So faith is a lifestyle. We also saw that faith is a law. Romans chapter 3 verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Works? No, but by the law of faith. That's how righteousness is attained. Not by your works, but by believing. By believing that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead. That act of faith brings righteousness. And it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter who your mama was, doesn't matter where you came from. If you'll exercise and put that law into practice, righteousness will come to you. It doesn't discriminate. So faith is a law. We also saw that outside of faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, koresi, outside of, it's impossible to please Him. So we just can't do it any other way except by faith. And so that's part of the foundation that we've laid so far. We also saw that faith is the door. Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That simply means now they can access all of God's provision if they'll exercise the law of faith. They too can come through the door. So can you. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about a couple women who didn't qualify, one woman and one leper, but they entered through the door of faith and they both got delivered. One got her daughter delivered and the leper got healed because they entered through the door. And both of them were strangers, had no covenant with God, but because they acted on God's word, they both received. Now, Romans chapter 12. I just want to spend a little bit of time here talking about this aspect of faith so that you can understand that God doesn't prefer anybody over you. You know, many times in life we face hardship, we face difficulty, we face challenges. And there's something about human nature. Human nature always wants to affix blame. We want to blame somebody. You know, not my fault. I didn't do it. You know, that side of human nature is as old as the Bible. You'll find that even in the book of Genesis. When Adam sinned and God confronted him, what did Adam do? It was that woman you gave me. It wasn't me. Right? Who's got that song out? Came out a few years ago. It wasn't me. Da 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 da. It wasn't me. Y'all know the song. Don't look at me like you're so holy out there. Right? But that's a part of human nature, to blame somebody else. Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, that every man should think of himself, or not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice it says the measure, not a measure. A measure would denote that perhaps one person got a little bit more than the next or somebody else. But he doesn't say a measure of faith, but he says the measure of faith. All of us have been given the measure of faith. Well, how much is that? It's enough. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, so it's enough to live by. Now, that measure can be developed. It can grow. If you study the Bible, you'll see that faith can be quantified. That simply means it can be little, it can be great. It can be weak, it can be strong. We find all of these adjectives in the Scripture referring to faith or somebody's faith. Remember one time when Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said, let's pass to the other side? And so they're heading out. All of a sudden, a storm comes up. Jesus is in the back of the boat snoozing. These guys, professional fishermen, some of them, are bailing water left and right. They don't know what to do. All of a sudden, they get desperate. Somebody wakes Jesus up and said, don't you care? We're all going to die. And Jesus got up, spoke to the wind, commanded the sea to be still. Then he turned around and looked at them and said, why are you afraid? And where is your faith? In other words, it was absent. And these men were shocked. They were amazed. They were dumbfounded. And one of them said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey his voice? What kind of dude is this? But listen, Jesus didn't wake up having a cranky moment. Jesus woke up and said, why didn't you do something about this? Now that blew their minds. That blew their minds. And he said, where is your faith? In other words, it was absent. So faith can be quantified. Can be absent, can be abundant, can be weak, can be great, can be little. Just depends on what you do with it. So all of us have been given the measure of faith. It's up to us to nurture and develop that faith in God. Now, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll get it out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. That's right after Colossians, just before Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or proper, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you toward each other abounds. So notice that he says your faith grows and your love abounds. So faith can grow. It can become larger than it is in its present state. It can become greater than it is in its present state. So I just want to share with you a few things that will help you so that you can grow your own faith. Okay? You can grow your own faith. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 1, the first Psalm. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but here's a little key that will help you. Psalm 1. Talking about faith, the ABCs. Psalm 1. So we've seen that faith can grow. So how do we get our faith to grow? Well, there are many things that we can do, but this is it in a nutshell. Here's the Old Testament pattern. Psalm 1. Notice we'll start with verse 1. Very, very short psalm. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, you might think that has nothing to do with faith, but I'm telling you, it has everything to do with faith. Notice what he says in the first verse. Blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, that simply is painting a picture about lifestyle choices. All right? In other words, blessed is the man who does not take counsel from people who are against God. In other words, you don't take advice from people who are against God. nor walks in the way of sinners. That's talking about a lifestyle. If you want to be blessed, don't take advice from people who are against God, number one. If you want to be blessed, don't walk or live like sinners do. Let me put it this way. Don't live your life like you don't know God. Amen. You know, unfortunately, some Christian people live that way. They came to Jesus, they've been born again, they've been saved, but because they didn't sever old relationships or renew their mind with the Word of God, you know, they go to church for the performance, but they just live the way they've always lived. Do the things they've always done. They live like they've never been born again. Well, if you want to be blessed, don't do that. And the last one is one who sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, the word scornful is translated many different ways in the Old Testament. But basically, it's talking about someone who decides to take up a pattern where they become, how would you say it? Very froward with their mouth. There's an Old Testament word. In other words, they got loose lips. That reminds me of that old, what was it? Old Bill Cosby movie. Flip Wilson played the preacher. What was that? Uptown Saturday Night. Remember that? Flip Wilson was a preacher. He said, "Loose lips, sink ships." Some of y'all are too young to remember that movie. But anyway, Uptown Saturday Night. If you have a chance, you can rent it. It's not that bad. Loose lips, sink ships. It's talking about somebody who is either sows discord or derision with their words. See, that's an ungodly thing. Christian people shouldn't do that. Are you with me? Words are powerful, and I'm going to talk about that a little deeper here in a moment. But we shouldn't, in a nutshell, live like the world. We shouldn't. And I understand the grace of God. I understand the mercy of God. We've all experienced it, including me. But there comes a time when your faith begins to grow and develop, and the things that used to hang you up don't hang you up anymore. Are you with me? The things that used to make you stumble don't make you stumble anymore, because your faith is growing. Now, how do you get your faith to grow? Do just the opposite of those first three things that I mentioned, and spend your time meditating in God's Word. Blessed is the man, in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His fruit will blossom, it will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. And so that's the key to getting your faith to grow. Your capacity for faith will increase as you spend more time meditating in God's Word. I got news for you guys. Sunday morning ain't enough. Sunday morning's not enough. I'd like to think that my teaching and preaching is so great that it'll sustain you all week long. I know better than that. Some of y'all get till Tuesday afternoon. Some of y'all a little stronger. You get to Thursday morning. But Sunday morning's not enough, man. You got to meditate in God's Word. You should do it consistently. You know, there's one characteristic of Job that God mentioned in the Bible. And it said this about Job. Not only was he an upright man, one who feared God and eschewed evil, but it said this about Job, that he desired God's Word more than he did his necessary food. Now, we don't know when the book of Job was written. It's one of the oldest manuscripts in the Old Testament. It's actually written before Genesis was. Moses wrote it. But Job was the kind of guy, he'd rather spend time in the Scriptures than he would eating. How many of y'all like to eat? I'm not going to talk about food because I'll get you distracted this morning. But Job would spend more time in God's Word than he did at the dinner table. Okay? Says a lot about this guy in his desire. But we need to spend time in the Word. That doesn't mean that you read your Bible 5 hours a day. But it does mean you spend time in God's Word consistently. And not only that, you meditate on it. The Hebrew word haggah literally means to mutter. It means to speak, to talk. That means you take God's word, you put it in your mouth. Here's a key for you. God told Joshua as he was taking over for Moses. Remember I talked about the principle of honor a few weeks ago? He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it. That's how you meditate, with your mouth. You say it. You roll it over and over on the inside of you. All right? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. The key for Joshua was meditating in God's word. And as you meditate in God's word, that gives you the capacity to do the thing. As you meditate in it, it gives you the capacity to do it. You won't do what you don't understand. You won't do what you don't believe. Are you with me? And so as you meditate in God's word, it gives you the capacity to do God's word. Let me give you an illustration. See, faith will work not only to help you receive things from God, but did you know faith will help you resist temptation? It will. You're tempted to miss it. What do? Sit in a corner and sweat bullets? No. Put God's word in your mouth. Say what God's word says. I did it for years, especially when I was a young guy, like 20, 21 years old. You know, I had to work on me, boy. You know, I said, no, that doesn't belong to me. In Jesus' name, no, that doesn't belong. That's not mine. I'm not going to lust after something that's not mine. You with me? The Bible says, and I would quote those scriptures, and that helped me resist temptation. It'll work for you too. Amen? It'll work for you too. So your capacity for faith will develop as you hear and meditate God's word. Haggah, to murmur, to ponder, to imagine, to speak, to talk, to study. Then, of course, Proverbs chapter 4. You're in Psalm 1. Go to the next book, Proverbs chapter 4. I'm not going to teach for a long time today. Proverbs chapter 4. Your faith can grow, but it's not going to grow all by itself. Your faith is not like a chia pet. Anybody ever have one of those chia pets? You know, you don't have to do much. Just throw some water on it and it'll grow. Well, you need to water your heart consistently with God's word, you know. See, these plants up here, they look pretty good. But what a lot of y'all don't know is I water them every Wednesday night. I soak them down real good. Because if I don't, they're going to be all dried up come Sunday morning. But every week I water these plants. And when it gets warmer, I put more water on them. Well, in the same manner, every day you should water your heart with God's word and meditate on God's word. Now, notice Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Attend to simply means pay attention to. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them, and health, literally medicine, to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or forces of life. And so here the writer of Proverbs is giving us a picture of God's will for us, and that is simply that we enshrine His word into our hearts. We have a constant look, a constant focus, and there are benefits to living that way. It's life to us, and medicine or health to all our flesh. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Your faith can grow. We've seen a lot of things about faith in this series. As I mentioned earlier, we saw that faith is fundamental or foundational. It's the basics. Faith is a principle that governs, or a law. Faith is a lifestyle. Outside of faith, it's impossible to please God. faith is the door. We've also seen that faith is released by acting on God's Word. But let me show you something about Mark chapter 11. And I shared this in Philly last weekend. And hopefully you can see the same thing. Mark chapter 11. We all know the account. Remember the story? Jesus is going into Bethany. He goes to a fig tree. Verse 12. Because he was hungry. And he saw this fig tree from a distance, and he went up to it because he saw leaves on it, but it wasn't time for figs yet. Notice this, verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, I've read this verse for 30 years. And it wasn't until 3 years ago I saw something that I'd never seen before. Jesus answered and said to it. I thought that's odd. In Erie, Pennsylvania, fig trees don't have lips or a tongue or a mouth. How can you answer a fig tree? So I went and looked that word up in the original language, and it literally means he answered. And the word in the Greek means to answer in response to a question, but it always denotes something said based on something that has already been said or something that's been done. So when Jesus went to that fig tree, something was said or something was done that caused him to respond the way he did. Now, I can't hang my hat on this theologically, all right? But how many times have you done something and that thing spoke to you? And I'll share this illustration with you. I shared this with the folks in Philly. I remember one time when I was pre-Bible college days, I had just paid off my first brand new car when I was 19. Paid the thing off, sent the last payment in, thing broke down. And I'm living in Newcastle, working in Butler, which is 30 miles one way. And I'm thinking, oh, great, now my car's broke down. And so I'm having a little pity party. And so I made arrangements with another guy who lived in Newcastle to drive me to Butler because we both worked for the same company. But I normally went in at 7 a.m. This guy didn't go in until like 8. So now my schedule's all messed up. So I'm standing outside my apartment, you know, clear sunny day. I'm having a little pity party. My car broke down. I got to wait for this guy to come pick me up. He's running behind. I don't like waiting for people. And this is what I said. Lord, what else could go wrong? What else could go wrong? And just then, I saw the hedges move across the street. Oh yeah, what in the world? And they shook again. And I'm looking at these hedges, and out of the bushes comes a skunk. And he comes creeping across the street right at me. And I had said, what else could go wrong? That skunk was talking to me. You want to see what else could go wrong? I'm going to show you what else could go wrong. Now, the skunk didn't say it, didn't verbalize it, but I heard it.
Yep.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
In the same manner, I truly believe Jesus went to this fig tree, and he must have heard something that sounded like this. Oh, no figs today. I don't think so, Jesus. Yeah, you might be the Son of God. You ain't getting no figs here. How many of y'all have had the circumstances of life talk to you? Well, we need to do just what Jesus did. He answered and said to it. And see, many times in life, we are defeated ourselves because we don't use our faith to speak to the circumstances that are causing us trouble. They're screaming at us, and we just sit there, remain silent. Some of us start humming that old spiritual, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory will be mine. That's a song. It's not scripture. It won't work that way. It won't work for you. There's only one time in the Bible when God told them, shut up, put the praise team up front, just let them worship and head right into the face of the enemy. And they defeated themselves. Every other time they had to fight. Same thing is true with you. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to answer these things with faith. Now, I can't hang my theological hat on that, okay? But that's what I truly believe. But I can hang my hat on this. Jesus spoke to a tree that had no ears, yet it heard his words and died. Your words are powerful. Jesus said, whosoever should say unto this mountain, mountains don't have ears, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. Your faith will work for you if you'll put it to work. Jesus said the same thing in Luke chapter 17. If you would say to this sycamine tree, trees don't have ears. If you speak to the sycamine tree and tell it be plucked up, be planted in the sea, Jesus said it would obey you. We have circumstances in life that need changing. We have God's Word that's full of His promises. If we'll open the door of faith and walk through and put our faith to work, start talking to these things, they will obey you. Amen? Wow, that preacher's crazy, talking about talking to trees and mountains. No, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. You with me? I think he knew what he was talking about. Put your faith to work. Your words are powerful. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 5 and we'll finish with this. Mark chapter 5. Ooh, good time. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, you will get out before most churches this afternoon. How many of y'all remember the old days? Sunday school started like at 11 o'clock or 10:30, 9. Sunday school went an hour, hour and a half. And then the devotion service started. And then the service started after testimony time. See, and then you got home about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Y'all are blessed to be here. I sat in many of those services, and I'm glad I did. I learned some things. I learned what not to do. Amen. Mark chapter 5. We know the story. Verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, and said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, that word virtue is the Greek word dunamis, miracle-working power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. You know what got this woman healed that day? It was not the fact that Jesus was anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. But you know what got her healed that day? It wasn't the fact that she was a child of Abraham, seed of Abraham. Although she was, healing belonged to her. But you know what got her healed that day? Her faith. She was saying, in the original language, she didn't just say it once. She was saying, what was she saying? If I touch him, I'll get healed. If I touch him, I'll get healed. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She was talking with her faith. Then she acted on that faith, went out into that crowd, which was illegal for her to do because she had an issue of blood. And remember, Jesus is following the high priest to his home, Jairus. not the high priest, but the ruler of the synagogue. And the Mosaic law, Levitical law, said that a woman with an issue of blood was not to be in public. If she was found in public, she could be stoned by the ruler of the synagogue. She didn't care. She was going to get healed. But notice her words spoke her faith. And then when she touched the hem of his garment, notice she didn't touch him, she touched his clothes. More appropriately, she probably touched that prayer shawl that was draped over his shoulders. I believe she understood the scripture that you find in the Old Testament where it says, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." And that's what that prayer shawl looks like when you lift your arms. Wings. I truly believe she knew that and believed that. She said, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, those wings, I'll be whole." And she did. Now, when Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched my clothes?" the disciples were shocked because they said, "You see the multitude thronging thee." That word throng, thronging, sunthlibo, means to be pressed on every side by a crowd that is moving to the degree that if you decided to stop, the crowd would carry you forward. People were touching him on every side, but one woman touched him with faith. Pulled the power of God out of his clothes, right into her, she was healed instantly. Your faith will work for you. It doesn't have to be great. Now, you can grow it, you can develop it, but you got to put it to work. Amen? Your faith is released with your words. We need to begin to say what God's Word says, even to those circumstances of life that talk to us every day. They may not have ears, but they'll hear your words and they'll obey you. Amen? Amen. Did you guys learn anything today? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?